Welcome to Keep the Hotel Empty. Today we've kept the hotel empty for Adriana and Abel from the band Shy Blossom. You guys, welcome.
Hello.
Thank you
for having us.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, stoked to have you guys. So I know you've got, you know, individual backgrounds and how you came together as Shy Blossom. I kind of want to start there a little bit. So Adriana, would you tell me a little bit about how you started singing? Because I know you've got a little bit outside of this band or that preceded this band. So I kind of want to do what we always do and start at the start a little bit.
Yeah. I've always been surrounded by music since I was little. Like, my parents have been doing music. My dad, he used to play out with bands and by himself also, and solo gigs. And my mom was also in the music business also. She used to, like, own a cafe, and she would have bands play there all the time.
Very cool.
Yeah, and I, like, used to do choir too. I did band. And I think around COVID, that's when I started actually learning guitar and writing songs. And I think in 2023, around August, I met up with Howard at Farm and Douglas Sound, and I started recording with him. And he helped me form a band, and that's when Shy Blossom kind of started. But we had a completely different lineup in the beginning.
Right.
And he's really the only one that's been here throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, there's always one.
Even in the beginning, there was a different guitarist for like barely a month.
When I joined, I was the latest addition. And then now I'm like the oldest member other than her.
Yeah.
That's a good spot to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we finally got our band together in like May.
Pretty much.
Like the final lineup, original one.
So
not original. I didn't mean to say.
Yeah. So when you very first start singing, or you think you're going to take it seriously, was having a band the goal, or did that kind of organically happen for
lack of a better way? It kind of just happened. My main goal was like to record and have like music out, and I just wanted to play out with my own music. And my producer like suggested that I would have a band, and I thought it was a really good idea, and we built that, and I'm really happy that we did, because it's so fun playing out with the band.
But you had done like solo singer-songwriter stuff before
that? Yeah, it was like a year. I started in like 2022 playing solo gigs all around Florida, and then I started recording a year later.
So what were those first gigs like? Did you feel at home right away, or was it like, what the hell am I doing here?
It was very difficult at first, because I learned 30 songs in a week.
Holy
smokes. My first gig. And some of them I had to play over again in the first one. It was very nerve-wracking. I didn't know what to say when I first played, so I was just playing the music. And eventually, it gets better.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to start introducing the songs. Introduce yourself. That's really what I've been doing.
So 30 songs in a week, that's a tall order.
Yeah, it was a lot of work.
So you were already accustomed to learning material at that point,
mm-hmm,
obviously, yeah. So what kind of stuff were you playing? Things that you thought were sort of indicative of the artist you wanted to be, or just things that you could play to get out and start playing gigs because you wanted to get out?
A lot of the songs that I first learned, they were like songs that I really enjoyed.
Okay.
Like, you know, Mitski, Fiona Apple.
Oh, nice.
PJ Harvey.
Oh, okay.
A lot of 90s music. And my parents suggested a lot of like rock music to play. There was Hole in there. And I think I played a Garbage song also when I first started. I don't do it anymore. But.
So how soon after those first gigs where you're choking down 30 songs and spitting them back out are you thinking a band is probably a good idea? Was it when you got to work with the producer that happened, or did that start kicking around?
It started when I started working with the producer, because he's the one that kind of suggested a band. My parents, before, they were wanting me to play in a band also, but he was really the one that influenced me the most to start building one.
Okay, so talk to me a little bit about day one working producer, recording, what that transition is like, because that's what gives way to this, yeah?
Yeah, before I started working with him, I had a friend that recorded with me, and we would just play the guitar and add a whole bunch of different background music to it. It was very different when I went in with Howard, because we started off with demos first, which is just guitar and the voice, and when we first started, it was just me and the producer. So he was playing a lot of the electric guitar and the bass. And we brought in a drummer. His name was Pearson.
Mm-hmm.
and he played all the drums on that. We also had Dave Abruzzese on it.
I saw that, yeah. And that's something I wanted to ask you about. I guess let's just divert for the sake of it right now, since you said it. For those that don't know, he is was a drummer in what is to some people the peak of the Pearl Jam era.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about how that works and what you're thinking when you're hearing, you know, the drummer from famous Pearl Jam songs coming out on your record.
Oh, it was really surprising when I heard he was going to be on the record because the producer, he just was friends with him and he just suggested that he would play on the album. And I was like, whoa.
Right.
Really?
Right.
It was really cool. And he's a really nice guy, too. He's very helpful. He helped so much with the music, and I'm really appreciative for what he did for those. He was on 5 out of 11 songs in the album. Yeah, I think Don't Call Me, what was the other ones? I Don't Want It.
Crazy For You.
And I can't think off the top of my head. Hold Me and Can't Get Used to This also. Yeah. He was on those
so
ones.
In that, when you're writing songs at that time, are you arranging them all just you and the guitar singer songwriter style and fleshing them out, or were you doing this collaboratively?
I already had all these songs written out before I went into the studio. It was just okay. Me and the guitar, and Howard was the one that actually helped me set up like the electric and the bass, and we brought in the drummers to
gotcha.
Play it. So it was really me that's like wrote all the songs, and we kind of built it up from there.
And that was your first like real recording experience, as
yeah.
It were?
It was very different.
So let me ask you this then. Lots of people, when they have their first recording experience, especially if they have material and they've got a lot of ideas in their head, it's either really daunting and like almost feels like putting on shoes that don't fit, or it's the direct opposite where it was like, oh my God, I'm right at home here. This is my song's coming to life.
That's what it felt like. Howard made it really comfortable to come to the studio and play my music and put in my own ideas into it. And it was really enjoyable. Like, it wasn't very nerve-wracking when I started with him. It also helped that I recorded with my friend before then. So,
yeah. And that was one of the things I was going to ask, especially tracking vocals. It's a time when people can get really self-conscious because it's a vulnerability that, you know, lots of people aren't used to, even if you've been performing. Because, you know, you're not listening to it back. Scrutinizing that studio monitors. So were there any challenges that you faced when you first started tracking for real?
It was the tempo, the metronome. That's the most difficult part.
Yeah.
It's the most difficult because you're trying to keep in time while thinking of the lyrics in your head while playing guitar. And then you go off time and you have to restart the entire thing. Yeah.
So it's just navigating the au naturel with how we put Humpty Dumpty together.
Yeah.
Okay. So you get that record finished. And what are you thinking at that point?
I was just really excited that I was able to release this album because it took nearly a year to finish it because it started with Howard and then we brought in Abel and he tracked some guitar on it.
Because when I joined, you had Pearson. And he had been doing drums. Chris Rousseau. Pearson plays with Liquid Pennies. I don't know if you know that band. And he plays with a bunch of bands around here. And he was doing drums. Chris Rousseau, he's from Murkoff. I don't know if you've heard of them. And Clara Noctis, they were metal bands from like Cape Coral area.
Nice.
And he was playing bass. He tracked all the bass on the. So when I joined, probably the album was like half finished, I would say. There were a few songs that didn't have any electric on it. There were some that had like rhythm parts. And there were some that were finished, like All I Wanted, Burn For You, I think,
was
finished.
There were three that were already finished.
And then there were a few that the producer was like, yeah, come in and do leads on them or just, you know, background kind of atmospheric stuff. There's one, I think, Hold Me, that I did all the guitars on. That was like the last one that we finished. And yeah, it was, so I kind of, you had a guitarist before me that I guess didn't work out. So it was, I don't know if we want to get into it, how I joined, do you want to carry
on? Sure, any of that. But more what I'm kind of wondering or curious about is, you know, when you're, lots of artists now will record albums sans a band. you can do everything just a singer, songwriter, and a producer quite easily. A singer, you can do everything a producer and an MC. You can do everything with just one guy if you want to. So I was more curious if you got to the end of the recording process and you didn't have a band, but it sounds like you started to get the band together during the recording process.
Yeah, we did.
So talk to me a little bit about how that happens, because that's probably more uncommon.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, probably. I think halfway through recording is when the band kind of started being built. We brought in, Pearson was like the first drummer that we had. And we had another guitarist, and Chris Rousseau also joined. And that was who we had for about a month maybe. And then our guitarist had to leave. And that's when Abel came in.
Yeah.
And...
which is a whole story we can get into as well. But yeah, pretty much originally you were you going to do everything just with Howard? I think that's
That was kind of the original plan.
Right.
And you brought Pearson into track almost like a session player.
And then, yeah, when he came in, that's kind of when the band idea started to form.
When the drummer came in,
Okay.
And then at what point did you guys decide to, at what point did Dave Abruzzese get like asked to track?
I think that was also kind of
somewhere
halfway
around there,
So it becomes real obvious that, you got to start putting the pieces together around you sooner than later.
Yeah.
So how does your piece come into the fold as much or as little as you want to?
Yeah. So I actually, it must have been June of 2023.
I think so.
I'm so lost for years, but yes, last year. And I saw an ad in Facebook, like on one of the you know, musicians wanted whatever groups that it had a link to, I think, one or two songs that you have out on Spotify solo. And that they're building a band around Adriana McDonald, you know, looking for, at that point it was bass and electric guitar. And so it said to send in like a performance video or any videos you had of yourself playing, whatever. So I went and I listened to one of her songs. I recorded a little video of my own rendition of a section of it. It was just like 30. There I go with the table. Like 30 seconds or something like that. Sent it in. I didn't hear back. I think I messaged your dad on Facebook and I was like, hey, I sent a video. I don't know if you guys got it. And he was like, oh, reach out to, he sent me the producer's email. He's like, reach out to him. He's the one that's like reviewing all that. So I emailed him and he was like, oh, we have someone, but best of luck and all that. So I was like, okay, well, I guess on to other things, right? I was friends with this band who, so the way you ended up at Farmadelic, if I recall correctly, was from Rock the Stage, right?
Yeah. Rock the Stage.
They're the Tabarini Foundation and School of Rock in Fort Myers put on this show called Rock the Stage. It's like a battle of the bands, or like a, it's like a talent show, I guess, with singer-songwriters, bands, and I don't know, just musical performances.
Very cool.
And if you, the prize is like studio time.
Yeah,
much,
it was
right?
studio time if you won.
And so that's how she ended up at Farmadelica Sound and Pine Island. The band I was friends with, they won the, you won the under 18 category, they won the over 18 category. So they ended up recording at the studio. I happened to go along with them one of the times they went to track, just to hang out.
Yeah.
I start talking to Howard and I realize this is the same studio that I was like trying to, that I was applying to be in the band. So I started asking him about the band and I'm like, hey, well, how's it going? He's like telling me about the drummer. He tells me about Dave Abruzzese and I was like, oh, that's cool. Tell me, no, the bass player is phenomenal. And I realized he didn't say anything about the guitarist. And I'm like, so what about the guitarist? How's that going? He was like, well, right now I'm tracking everything because we don't have one. We're looking. And then he stops and he looks at me. He was like, why, do you want to play for us? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, are you kidding with me? And I was like, no, no, I'm serious. I was like, I applied. And he was like, okay. He's like, let me get your number and we'll talk later. And so I think that same week I went out, I met Adriana, met her parents. I think I listened to two or three songs.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this is cool. I'm in. And I don't know if it was that same week or the next week, they had a band rehearsal and they sent me this like four songs. I listened to them. I tried to learn them as much as I could, came in, and it was felt like a good fit.
So quick too.
Yeah, paint me the picture of that first rehearsal, because I always like to ask bands this, you know, because I think a lot of people who go in to play with bands, they are nervous, right?
Yeah.
But they don't ever realize that the band is kind of nervous too.
Yes.
You know, because you don't know who you're taking in and what are you going to say. You know, it's like, so. Tell me a little bit about what that first rehearsal was like when you first walk in the door.
I was pretty confident with the songs at that point, even though I just had like a day to learn them, but I listened to them a good bit. And I have done a lot of auditions just over a lot of cover band stuff. And so it's kind of a little more familiar. And I was a little more excited about this because it was original music. So there's definitely more. I was like, I think I can do this. And I'd already met them, so that was nice. It wasn't like meeting total strangers to come in and audition. I didn't know the band. I just knew Adriana, but...
That helps.
It does, yes, for sure. So when I got there, I don't think they were there yet, like the bass, Chris or Pearson.
You were like the first. I was early. The first ones there.
And they were in the, because we did the audition at the studio, so they were in the control room. And
we kind of just played.
Yeah, I sat down and someone was like, well, you guys should just start playing. And I was like, all right, is there a guitar? And they handed me an acoustic guitar and we started doing one of the songs. And I was like, oh, we can do this. Like right away, it felt good. And so by the time like the band set up and we were ready, that was such a confidence booster that it just like right away it was like, oh yeah, we ran through like two or three songs and it was it.
Very cool. So I'm a mission drift just a little bit and press rewind on your side. If you learn these songs that quick and you come in ready to rock, that begs the question, what's your guitar background like? When did you start playing? What was the impetus for you?
I started playing so I grew up in Mexico, in kind of a, like out in the country, very rural area. I probably started playing when I was like 8 years old, something like that. More seriously, probably around 12. I was lucky enough to have, like in school, I went to this like small church school, I guess you could call it. Mm-hmm. And our music teacher was a guitarist, and he'd learned like classical guitar under this really good professor in a university like there in Mexico. Mm-hmm. So I kind of learned, like starting to learn guitar, mostly it was more classical stuff, classical and like traditional Mexican, you know, nylon string stuff, right. Finger picking. But just having like a real, really good structured way of learning helped me a lot. And then from there, I always liked music, obviously, like music in the household. Constantly a lot of like not common music, I guess, because my dad has very weird musical taste.
Nice.
And I think also just being I didn't have a cell phone until I was like in my 20s. We didn't have internet, so I wasn't that like surrounded by like whatever was popular at the time, so I ended up just finding music on like serendipitously or on my own. Started getting really interested in electric guitar probably around 13, 14, as you do. I couldn't afford an electric guitar till I was 16, I would say. And then I didn't have an amp for a while, so I just play it like not plugged into anything. And at that point, I pretty much got into like classic rock, I'd say, like mostly Zeppelin early on, like that's all I would listen to. Mostly their live stuff, actually, not so much the albums.
Yeah.
Then, you know, Pink Floyd, all that, you just go from there. Metal phase as well at some point.
Well, you have to have a metal phase.
You have to, right?
No guitar playing is complete without a metal phase. Exactly.
And so I was basically self-taught, but I did have that solid background of having, you know, learned a lot of classical stuff. I'm not classically trained. People ask me that. I'm like, no, definitely not.
Yeah.
I'm like adjacent, I guess.
That counts.
I mean, it helped me.
Okay, so let me ask you this. At what point in your learning or playing guitar does the internet become part of your world?
Probably, like, indirectly around, like, 16, 17 when I had an electric guitar, finally got a little practice amp. We would drive to town to, like, go to, you know, shopping or whatever. And they had what they called internet cafes where you could sit down, rent a computer. So I would go on YouTube, look up, you know, mostly Jimmy Page live performances, download them with this like third party like extension that you could convert to MP4 or whatever.
Yeah.
Put them on a flash drive and take that home. And then I would watch those at home and like learn stuff. So that's, I never really did the like tutorial thing. Sometimes now I'll do that just to, if I want to learn something really fast and don't want to sit down and learn it by ear.
Right.
But most of it was just listening to CDs at that point. Eventually I got an iPod and listening to stuff and trying to figure it out.
Well, that's one of the things that really strikes me, not to date myself at all, but I grew up at a time when there was no internet and learning to play songs was a matter of having to find someone that could teach you. So, you know, I didn't know about drop D and, you know, I didn't couldn't understand how to do anything. So explain to me what it was like for you when you're first exploring your instrument and you don't have the resource, not that you're conscious of it at the time, but everyone that's your age is certainly conscious of it now. When you want to learn to play guitar, you can do the tutorials and do exactly what you said, and you can leapfrog talent a lot quicker. Talk to me a little bit about what discovering your instrument was like for you when it's just you and your instrument.
I think it's funny because I didn't realize you could bend strings until I was like 18, I think. And I saw someone do it at a guitar store in Boston, I think. I don't remember. I walked in. I was visiting family. My mom's from Massachusetts. And we were visiting family there. And I walked into this like guitar shop. I thought like I would hear bends and stuff like that on records, and I would think, I thought it was pedals that I thought they were using pedals to do that. And I was like, oh, I just need to get the right pedals. I don't know. I didn't have any at the time.
This
I was
is
like,
what I'm talking about.
Yes. I was like, I need, how do I do this? And so I'm sitting there playing, thinking I'm playing, right? And then this kid walks in. He looked probably 16, 17, so maybe a year or two younger than me. And he sits down and he just starts like playing all these blues scales and like doing, you're like bends and stuff. And I'm like, oh my, like he's doing the thing. That's how you do it. And I'm like, what? And I'm watching him. And then these two older blues musicians just happen to walk in to like buy some picks or something. And they see him playing and they're like, oh man, like you can play. And they sit down and start playing with him. And I'm just sitting in the corner, like watching, like wishing I could be that, right? So it is funny how just you hear things and it's so hard to know what they're actually doing.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm sort of grateful for that because it made me learn to hear a lot better. So now I'll listen to stuff and I'm like, I have a pretty good idea of what they're actually doing without even having to pick up the instrument. I'm like, okay, this is what's going on just from being forced to do it.
Ear training.
Yeah, but it was hilarious to me, like looking back that, like, yeah, how would you do that with a pedal like a bend? I don't know.
I'm right there with you. Yeah. I struggled forever to try to find where those lower notes were on my guitar before I found out they were tuned to drop D
exactly.
Playing Soundgarden songs.
Or like, hearing a song in a full alternate tuning. Yeah. I remember doing that once. I think I don't know if you watched the movie August Rush. It's kind of a corny movie, but there's this kid that's supposed like a prodigy or whatever, and he learns to play a guitar like in this weird alternate tuning. But I forget who the guy who actually tracked the guitars for that is. He's a well-known acoustic player. Mm-hmm. But all the acoustic playing in the movie and in the soundtrack are alternate tunings. And I think I realized that probably because in the movie they show him like untuning the guitar. I was like, oh, you can play tune the guitar different. So then I would hear songs that I had heard previously and had no idea how they were playing. I'm like, oh, it's probably that. And a few of them I would figure out, like I found open G just by listening to a song and trying to be like, okay, this, like, how does this work? And eventually I was like, oh, this is a cool tuning. And then later I found out it's like very
popular.
The whole
second Pink Floyd album is this tuning.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay, so your ear training and your experience just being able to allow yourself to discover music is how you learn these songs so quickly and jump into the band so quickly.
I'd say so.
Okay, so what was the distance between first rehearsal or audition, whatever you want to call it, and first gig?
It's actually
a while.
Yeah, like what, 4 months?
Our first gig was actually the beginning, like in February of this year.
Okay.
I think it was the 25th. It was at Downtown Cava in Punta Gorda. That was our first ever show with the band.
Yeah. Nice.
And we actually didn't even, Pearson never played a show with us.
Yeah.
That's when Julie joined, our drummer, she's sitting over there. She joined in January.
Pretty much.
We had an audition like right when I came back from Ohio, visiting my family. And we were immediately wowed by her.
Yes.
She's just amazing. She's an amazing drummer.
So I got to be on both sides of the audition process.
Yeah. Right. That's nice.
Yeah.
Would you say, did you say the second half was less nervous or more nervous?
More, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, yeah.
Okay, so once you get drummer solidified, you spent the time in between just tightening things down, or did you start writing right away? What was the initial coming together looking like?
I think we were just, during that time, we were trying to get our band tighter. Yeah,
really just trying to learn the album.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to play out till the album was released, roughly. I mean, we wanted to, or maybe a few times.
Yeah.
And then our drummer, he was in, like I said, he plays in a lot of bands. He was like, I can't keep up with this much. So
right. He
kind of left the band. So then we're like, well, now we can't play. We have to find a drummer. Took a few months to find.
We went through like two.
A couple auditions that just didn't quite work out. And thankfully, Julie showed up to save the day. And she'll be swapping with me in a minute. So you'll be able to see her.
Talk to me about some of the things that are important for you guys artistically that you have in common with whomever comes in the band. Because usually you can say, if people didn't work out, sometimes it's a scheduling thing. Yeah, that's obvious. Being in a band is demanding. That part goes without saying. But when you find somebody that fits, what are the things about them creatively, artistically, that you either look for consciously or subconsciously that lets you know this is a fit? This is working.
For me, confidence is big. Like, I want to know that they can, like, confidently play the songs, which a lot of that just comes from ability, but just general confidence is good.
And they bring in their own spin on stuff also.
I think that helps.
That's really helpful.
And having a good sensibility to the song, I would say, is probably the other thing, especially with the type of music that we do, which,
yeah.
I don't know, I guess it's like alternative rock. The song has to come first, like whatever fits the song. So sometimes you find people that, you know, have a lot of ability, have a lot of, but they're, I don't know, selfish players, I guess, which we all try to not do. So I think that's probably the biggest thing for me. And musicality, really, like just being able to, if it's a simple thing, make it sound good. If it's a complex thing, also make it sound good. That's huge.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually something that I've been hearing from a lot more artists increasingly, the mentality, the idea of serving the song first. What do you think is the, I don't want to say the reason for that, but what do you think helps you keep that attitude? Because it is easy as a musician to slip into the mentality of, I just got to make sure I'm playing good. I just got to make sure my part is all it can be in the army. You know what I mean? How do you keep the mentalities that fresh or in the front of your mind that serving the song is the goal?
I just have to think about.
Yeah, because the adage of it that gets tagged along to it with bands is being greater than the sum of your parts. You see a lot of bands that can play at the same time, and then you see bands that play together.
Yeah.
It seems to be pretty obvious that you guys want to be one of those bands that plays together.
Yeah.
Do you feel that serving the song is like a crucial part of that?
Yeah. Yes, I think so.
The way I see it is I think of what I would want to hear if I was listening to us. And as much as I do like listening to solos and like, you know, pyrotechnics or whatever, when you really get down to it, the things you remember the most are like a really good song. Like, that's what people will remember. So to me, that's the whole point. You want to be memorable.
Mm. Yeah.
And you want your songs to be memorable. And the way to achieve that, as far as I've been able to learn, is by doing what's best for that particular song. And not everything works on every song, you know. I think it's about having good taste.
Try things.
Yeah. Try things and not be too attached to them. Like,
yeah, that's one of the things I like to ask people about. And I call it getting precious.
It's hard.
How do you not get precious about your parts? It's keeping your ego in check. Yeah, and as an artist, that's a thing.
Yeah. You just have to take in what other people are saying about it and just just have to listen.
Yeah. I try to do as much filtering of like my parts previously so I don't have to have someone else tell me that this sucks. Yeah. But yeah, you just have to be open to like maybe every idea is not the best one.
Yeah.
Sometimes the first idea is the best one, but sometimes it's not, and it's, you know, it's just,
you just have to learn it over time.
Yeah.
Well, you said a good word in there, memorable, and I'm with that. I think that most music, regardless of what it looks like or sounds like, the important part is what kind of memory you can have from it and attached to it. So let me ask you, what do you think makes a song memorable, or what are some big memorable songs to you that embody this thing that powerhouses it into your brain?
Things that are usually like most memorable to me in music is when like the vocals and the harmonies come together really like what's the word? Ethereal?
Mm-hmm. Is that the word? Yeah, it's a word.
I love when vocals are like the main thing that I focus on when I listen to music, and the lyrics especially. I love when I can just listen to a song and just get chills and like goosebumps, and guitar solos. Also, those, I love listening to those too, especially when like vocals and solos like combine together in a song.
So it's that melodic imprint, that top mm-hmm. line gets you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for me, definitely melodies. Melodies are huge. And I guess moments, like if you get, for me to like a song, it just needs to have one really cool moment, whether it's like a rhythmic thing or... But typically, I would lean more towards a melodic, whatever it is, if it's vocals, yeah. if it's instrumentation, and a good arrangement. Like, that's, and I do like, I love pop, but I do like more than just four chords. That helps.
Yeah. Well, and that brings up a really good point, too, or an interesting thing I'd like to ask people about. When you're writing music, you always kind of can flirt the line between overcomplicating things or oversimplifying things. And it'll sound like one or the other to whomever's hearing it, right? But one of the biggest tricks is to make these four chords or pop song arrangements be not something you're talking about disliking yeah. and be the thing that can be interesting and grab people. Do you particularly find a way, or have you ever found a time in your writing where you're coming up against the wall where you're trying to make, or I shouldn't say coming up against the wall, but you're getting ready to clear the hurdle where simple has to be interesting. This is kind of part of serving the song. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's interesting you ask that, because I ran into that with one of the songs that we're going to be releasing at the end of this year, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Now it's my favorite song on the, we're releasing an EP, a 5-track EP, probably November-ish. We're still figuring that out.
Very cool. We might have to have you guys back on for a deep dive one.
Yeah, that'd be great. And there's one song on it called Like You Used To. Mm-hmm. And for this EP so far, how it's been, since now the band is really arranging and writing everything.
Yeah.
She pretty much had the songs like fleshed out as a solo like acoustic performance, and then she would send them to me, and then I would like kind of play around with them and come up with some sort of arrangement that then you could just add drums and bass to. And there's one that I must have taken like a month of just trying stuff, and it's a pretty straightforward progression. Mm-hmm. It is four chords. two variations of the same progression essentially. And I was like, okay, I need to, like you said, I need to spice this up. I need to make this interesting. So I'm trying like all these extensions and stuff. And I was just trying kind of way too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I thankfully though, I was like, no, this, none of this is working. Like I was able to realize
trust that. Your ears.
Yes. And be like, nope. And just kept trying. And finally one day I was just like, maybe I'm just trying too much. Let's just play the song how it is and see what happens. And I've played for a few years now. I play at a friend's church like once or twice a month. Mm-hmm. And it's like CCM. So most of those songs are 3-4 chord songs, very right. simple. They're pretty open to me just doing whatever I want at this point because I've played with them for a while. So if there's like a hook in the song that I know they'll want to have me play, I'll learn that. And then I'll just kind of show up and be like, okay, try just kind of improvise over it. And it's stylistically, you're just a lot of like open chords, try to get open strings in there, you know, make it sound big or whatever.
Right.
So I was listening to the song and I was like, why don't I just do that? I'll just pretend I'm showing up to play it and just play whatever, like whatever melodic and, you know, simple structure I can come up with. And in about 30 minutes, I had like the song. I was like, oh, that's it. Like there, it was there. And then I just added a little solo later. But it was funny how like a full month of trying to do this
circle other stuff, all the way back to where yeah. you started.
And then it's like, oh, it was right there the whole time. It was, so it's a process. You just have to, like you said, trust your ears and know when you're either simplifying it too much or really overcomplicating it.
Yeah, that seems to be the trick, you know. I mean, nobody, I shouldn't say, I guess people are reluctant to admit that they like pop music, but the structure of pop music is really digestible. It works really well. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's sometimes a trick to find a way to make things simple. So, or be comfortable with simple as the artist rather, you know what I mean? Because you're thinking, man, I could play whatever here. Well, now might be a good time we can yes. take Julian and talk out. About how the arrangement process goes on her end now that you're arranging with a drummer in real time.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Julie, welcome.
Hi.
So, we got a little bit of the background about how you got in the band, but I'd like to get maybe a little bit of background too about how you start drumming. Where does drums come into your life?
I want to say 2020, I started really exploring different instruments, because I want to say in kindergarten I was always surrounded by like music and stuff. I played piano for like 6 years and guitar, and I was like, it's not really working out. So I was like, we'll try drums. And that really clicked for me.
Nice.
And we're in like 2020, COVID, everybody's home. So I really got to kind of like focus on that. And then I want to say 2022 or 23, I joined School Rock, which is like a little area where kids get to come together,
right.
perform like classic rock stuff. And it really gives you a chance to like socialize with people and also build like musicianship. So I joined house band. I play like 3-4 gigs a month.
Dang.
With them. So you're getting connections with everybody. And that's how I actually got to audition for them as well.
So what were you thinking when you're first starting to play these gigs out a couple times a month?
Scary.
Yeah.
It's different because you're playing in front of people.
Yeah.
You're not like rehearsing with your band. You're playing in front of a bunch of people, and that can kind of be a little intimidating sometimes.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So how long did that last before you were like, okay, I want to get in maybe a regular band, original band? Was that always part of the scheme for you, or did that kind of unfold?
It kind of unfolded. I joining another band, it wasn't really in mind yet. I was kind of just playing with house band. But I had a gig. It was Rock the Stage, actually. And one of the bands was like, hey, we'd love to have you audition for us. So I did. And it was actually
Martini and Russo.
Martini Russo, yeah.
The one that Abel knew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Abel was actually there at my audition. And I want to say a couple months later, the singer of Martini Russo was like, hey, there's another band out there, Shy Blossom. Do you want me to give your number to them so that you can audition?
Now you just like, get drum sure. You want a drum for everybody?
Yeah. And I felt like I really clicked with them, too, because they're, like, around my age, and I actually like their style of music. It's originals, too. And it's
yeah, not, like, right. Covers. That's why I wanted to ask, you know, what yeah. was the... Because that's the transition for a lot of people when they start. You know, we can play some covers on stage, we can get going, but then when does the itch hit you that I want to start making or be part of original music? With them?
Yeah, I would say so, because I've never thought of doing, like, original stuff or even writing. I was kind of just doing covers, which it's fun playing covers because you kind of get to like take your own spin on it sometimes
right.
when you want to, of course. But I think listening to their music when I was practicing to audition, I was like, this is really cool. And they're still like, we're all still writing new stuff. So I think that's a really good thing. For us.
Hell yeah. So talk to me about your first rehearsal when you come in the band.
Nerve-wracking. I was scared. I've only auditioned like 3 times, but it's like also for a band that I really wanted to be in because it's a good opportunity to get out there. So it was very nerve-wracking. And also just trying to talk with them too because I'm very anxious. So it's kind of difficult to talk to them, but we really clicked, I think, that first audition and the first rehearsal too. So
we were so wowed by her because we went through 2 drummers and they didn't really work out. They're great drummers, they just didn't work out yeah. with our band. And then she came in and we did 4 songs,
mm-hmm.
and immediately we were like, she's going to be in our band.
Very cool. Did you have a chance to learn the material ahead of time?
Yeah.
Okay.
They sent me the 4 songs, and I had to do it by ear, because there's no, like, drum charts
right.
or everything, so that really challenged me also, ear training and listening to the kick pattern or certain fills and stuff, and I also think... playing covers helped with that too, because I'm constantly learning new songs and training my ear as well.
And so. School of Rock taught you that stuff?
Yes.
So talk to me about how valuable that experience was, because I think a lot of people on the outside can easily discount programs like that. Talk to me about how valuable it was for you to have that experience and that training before you got to this point.
A lot, definitely, because they have lessons there. So I used to take lessons online. I played, like, blues stuff, so I didn't really get into rock at that moment. But when you take lessons over there, you're learning music in different skills through playing songs and covers. And that I think that really helps a lot. It establishes, like, kind of like a connection, because it's like, wow, this is, like, my favorite song. But you're also learning skill sets that you can kind of, like, put into writing stuff eventually, which I do too. So I think that really helped as well.
So that gets me to the operative question here. Talk to me a little bit about how you guys are now starting to write together as a band.
Oh, it's actually really exciting.
Yeah. A little nerve-wracking.
Well, I still, some of the songs I still already have written out.
Right.
So I just bring it to the band and I start playing it. Julie starts adding her fills and her kicks. And Abel, he just starts thinking of solos and stuff over it. Really, at practices, we're just going by ear, really.
Yeah.
We're just seeing what works first and trying to serve the song. Yeah.
Yeah, don't be afraid to try
yeah.
new stuff. It's a learning process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but, I'm sorry, go on.
Sorry. But there are, like, some songs that we've completely started from scratch in there, and I'll just start playing random chords on guitar, and then Abel will start playing, and our new bass player, he came in around May, his name's Preston, he's also from School of Rock.
Yep.
So she knew him before.
Nice.
And so we just all start building songs from scratch now at the end of our practices, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Trying to, it's trying cool, to put yeah. songs together.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Talk to me about the mindset difference from being your singer-songwriter portion of your show, where you know you can play the chords and play the songs and you can just be there and it's done however you want it,
yeah,
versus now you're doing this with other people in real time.
It's very different because you're all putting your mindset into one song and you're kind of just, you have to bounce off of each other and just build the song from scratch. Like when, because sometimes Abel, he starts off guitar and I'm not really I don't really know chords by ear.
Right.
So he has to teach them to me first, and then I start playing with them. And it's very new to do because, I don't know, like you just have to build everything from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, starting brand new.
Because I typically wait for Abel to write guitar parts because then I can like, oh, what should I act? What is he doing in his riff that I can like accent by doing like hi-hat opening or like a fill,
right,
or stuff? So I typically wait for guitar and then sometimes vocals for like pauses and stuff. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's very cool.
So do you feel like part of you that used to be able to be the sole proprietor of these songs is like not wanting to let that go, or is that person just like excitingly jumping off the cliff?
Sometimes it's a little difficult because I'm very used to having the whole song written out.
Right.
But it's like a new learning experience because you get to listen to other people's feedback. And actually, Abel, he's helps come up with lyrics sometimes and melodies. I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have gotten that if I was writing that by myself. Mm. So
greater than the sum of your parts, you guys are good at keeping your focus.
Yeah.
So now that you're kind of, I don't want to, no other way to put it, now that you're giving up some of the responsibilities you used to have to write and arrange these songs in these entireties to now you're sharing them with your bandmates, what are the most important things about what you do that you want to make sure you preserve now in this next leg when you're writing collaboratively?
The songs that we've been starting to write, we kind of start mostly with the instrumental first.
Okay.
So the guitars are kind of, we have one song that we almost have finished now, and it started with just guitar first, and then I took that to, and I just wrote the lyrics by myself in my room, and then we took it back out, and that's when we added the bass and the drums to it. And that's kind of how we're doing it right now, but there's other songs where I'll just come up with lyrics and melodies in the middle of our practices, and that's what we've been doing lately.
So is it most important for you, or do you find that you put a lot of your energy now that you're writing collaboratively into keeping what you want the lyrical sentiment to be, or making sure that your melodies are what shines? What parts about what you did alone are you making sure, or you really want to make sure shine in the band context now that you've got collaborators around you to help enhance everything?
I think the lyrics is like the most important part to me, because that's when I take it to myself and I come up with like the theme of the song, and I'll just start writing it by myself in my room, and I'll sometimes take it now to the band and see what they think of it, but that's like the most important part to me is the lyrics and the melody too.
Well, yeah. You can't have one without the other. But. So you got an EP coming up at the end of the year, you said, right?
Yeah.
Talk to me about what the tracking of this one's been like.
Actually, it's very different from the first time, because when I first started, we didn't have like any ideas. It just started with me and the guitar. But for these ones, we actually put everything on the songs first, we went into the studio.
Yeah, we did like demos at home. Like they're completely different because I was writing, but Pearson actually he tracked
in studio
the whole
for the
EP. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we were talking about ideas, and so some of my ideas are actually incorporated into his plan because he just heard the song without drums and he kind of like dove right in and started playing.
So, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
like one of those drumio videos.
Yeah. We also had Chris Rasu track the bass on the EP also.
Yes.
on the one that's coming out.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So you tracked this one relatively quickly after you did the first one, or what?
Yeah. I think we started recording this EP in May, I would say.
I think so. Maybe a little bit or before April. Preston.
Came. A little, yeah.
I think so, yeah. April sounds about right.
Yeah. But we had these songs like kind of already written.
Right.
And she had the drum ideas. And Chris, we sent the songs to him, so he had the bass ideas for them. And then we went to the studio and recorded everything. And the drums was, like, really the only thing that was kind of different from what we had before.
Yeah.
For the ideas of the song.
Are you working with the same producer?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Howard.
Yes. Okay. So let me ask you this, then. It'll be a little bit touchy one, and then we'll get you out of here on something fun. What are you hoping your sound sounds like this time? What is your main goal for your sound? Do you want people to be able to say it's got a 90s tinge, it's got an early 2000s tinge, or are you really trying now to shape something different?
Yeah, I think we're trying to make it a little different, not as like rock, like hard, like not, I wouldn't say hard rock.
Like alternative, like, rock.
Yeah, yeah, not so much like distortion.
Gotcha. In
songs this time. It's going to be a little bit more indie rock, I would say.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like...
Yeah, I like the change that we're having.
Yeah.
Because we're finally finding our band sound that, yeah, that we have, everyone.
Definitely.
That's why, yeah, I wanted to ask, because it seems like you were ready to find a sound, and it,
yeah,
it's cool to hear that you're doing, yes, that. Okay, well, then that leads into my fun question super easily. My fun question is kind of a stupid fun question, but I ask this question not because I want to know who your favorite bands are or anything like that. I ask this question because I'm more curious about who you think, what artists would be best for you to be alongside to present what you're about to do, your sound that you're finding, to the world. So if you could have an EP release party at the end of the year for this EP with two bands, you can each pick one, dead, alive, here, gone, whatever it is, that you would be your dream EP release party, who would you play with?
I would say Mitski and
Fiona. And what kind of music is that? I'm totally unfamiliar with that.
She's like a newer musician. It's kind of, I would say it's also alternative a little bit.
Okay.
She does some pop, and then there's alternative and indie.
I'll definitely check it out.
It's very it's different. Yeah.
Very cool.
And Fiona Apple. She's one of my favorite musicians. Oh,
that's awesome. That is so great to hear.
Probably Backseat Lovers.
Yes, yeah. I love Backseat Lovers.
She really got me into listening to them a lot more, because I only listen to like classic rock and like heavy metal, but she really introduced me to like more genres.
Well, that is one of the beauties of being in bands, sharing music.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Adriana, Julie, and Abel around the corner, I thank you guys so much for coming down, taking the time to talk to us and share a little bit of your journey. Very stoked to catch you guys live, and very stoked to catch the EP when it comes out. And you've always got a home here. When you release the EP, if you want to do a deep dive, you got something going on, come back, say, hey, we'd love to have you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah. Had a lot of fun.